Amen. We want to welcome everybody to the live stream audience from wherever you guys are watching around the world. We're glad you're tuning in to West Point Family Worship Center. And you guys are going to be blessed with this word. Behold, what manner of love this is. I want you guys to know that something happened on the day of Pentecost in your Bible. You read the book of Acts. You just go ahead and read that book. Something happened on the day of Pentecost. There was a change in the atmosphere. The heavens were roaring with the praises of his glory. And all of a sudden, that power came down into a church. That power of Jesus Christ, glorified in heaven now, has come down to earth as the disciples were waiting upon the Almighty. Amen. And they were infilled with the power of God. They were infilled with Jesus Christ. They were infilled with the Holy Spirit. And they went about turning this world upside down. Every theologian is in absolute agreement that this is the day when the church was born, that the power of Pentecost had to come to that early church for that church to be the church. But in that spectacle, that nobody knew what was going on, God forged his vessel. Amen. God forged a vessel that would touch the entire world. They preached the gospel into all the known world, the Bible says. They got the job done, and guess what? It was the same Jesus that we all know and love that walked this earth, healed everybody that was sick, was perfect, was sinless. These men were now walking in a power that only Jesus had because Jesus was in them. How? By and through the Holy Ghost. Amen. And in this power that was let loose on the earth, in the church, it changed a culture and an atmosphere, and it was called the church or the assembly or the way. And these people were so filled with God that they became a church that would fellowship. They became a church that would meet from house to house. They were a church that shared the word of God. They went everywhere preaching the word of God. And it says, in this atmosphere, in this Holy Ghost-filled atmosphere that Christ intended the church to be, that the church grew in number, amen, such as would be saved. They weren't scattered. They were brought together. They were unified. They had everyday prayer meetings. They lived with one another. They had a time where they would eat with one another and break bread and fellowship and talk about the things. And guess what their doctrine was? It was the apostles' doctrine. They didn't deviate from the word of God that was being sent forth from the apostles, amen. Is that truth? Amen. And in that, you guys, we cannot stop to tell you, I cannot cease to tell you that that environment has changed the world every time it's been replicated in human history. That plan, that purpose, and that Pentecost that came to this earth is still alive and well on earth right now. Amen. There are places on earth right now. I was just talking to a guy named Creston Tomlin. He's a worship leader down at Pottsville. I met up with him. He said there are places in the underground church in Saudi Arabia that sickness cannot live. In other words, there's 2,000 people hiding because they've already signed their death warrant. Hey, stay with me now. They've already signed their death warrant to be there, to go to church, and if they get caught, they'll be strung up and dead. But as they sneak to the church underground, it says as they go through the threshold of that church and as they walk into the place, there'll be sometimes 100, sometimes 2,000 people. They said sickness falls off people as they walk through the threshold. Sickness cannot live because there's so much faith in the people and because they're so dependent on the Holy Ghost and on the Word of God that sickness cannot live in that hour. He said, Aaron, I've never seen it. We've been missionaries for 9 years to Saudi Arabia, and I've never seen places and pockets like this on earth, but they exist. And I said, whoa, you just challenged the way that I even believe. So much faith in Jesus Christ. It's as if Jesus was right there, you guys. Maybe let me say it this way. If Jesus was there, would he heal them? What did he do on earth? He healed them all. You guys, there is a power, there is a strength, there is a faith, there is a love. And that's what I want to talk to you guys about today. God has never disguised his burden. Jesus loves you. Amen? Jesus loves every single one of us. It's an unfailing love. It's a love that even though we forget him, he will not forget us, the Bible says. The Bible says, I've graven thee upon the palms of my hands, O Zion. Thy walls are continually before me, and I am constantly thinking about you. In Proverbs 8, it says this of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit delights over you. He delights over you, and his interest is with the sons of men. That Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ, and before the world began, he was thinking about you. And at that cross, he was thinking about you. He was thinking about you and saving you and washing you in his precious blood and redeeming you from every sin that you would ever commit and sparing you, amen, for eternity and eternity and eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. What a love that this God has for us. He loves the hurting, the afflicted. He loves the broken. He loves the scared. He loves the people that feel alone. He wants to save us. Amen? Your God wants to save you. He wants to help us. He's more pained by the heartless endeavors of people that don't, of people that profess to know him, than he is of the lost. God seems somewhat surprised that those who have received his mercy could be so calloused towards others who are so desperate for his mercy and so in need of his mercy. So what is it that God wants from us today? The greatest thing that we can do for the Lord today is this. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. That's what God wants from you today, amen? That's what God is after today. He's after your hearts. He's after your love. He's after your soul. He's after everything about you. He's after the DNA that you hold that you think is yours, and it's not yours. It was given by the Almighty God to you. You're not a mistake today, amen? There's a purpose for your life, and God is after the creation, and you are his creation, and he loves you, and he died, and he showed his love, and he demonstrated his love on that cross, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, amen? Oh, my Lord, hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus, for what you've done, and I thank you what you want to continue to do in every single one of us. It's simply this, is that, church, I want you to know it's possible to be a good, fine, upstanding little Christian and to be really good about obedience and Bible reading and prayer and fasting and come to church and make it a little piece of your religious activity and never to know God personally and never to know that he loves you, to never know the love of God. So you can obey God without loving God. I said you can obey God without really loving God. And God wants our hearts. God wants us to love him supremely so that we'll lay our lives down for him. He wants a Book of Acts worship. He wants fellowship. He wants labors of love, labors of service, labors of sacrifice, but not before he wants your heart. Church, we need grace, amen? We need grace in our personal life. We need grace in our walk with Jesus. And it comes through belief. It comes from you believing God. It comes from an intimacy with Jesus Christ, your Savior, today. It produces this superhuman kind of love that none of us have. How many of you guys really believe that you love God? I hope so. But church, this is talking about something totally different. Being intimate with your wife is a great thing, and every man said amen. When you find the time to dodge the kids, when it becomes possible to have intimacy, it's a coveted thing, it's a wonderful thing, and I know that most men would agree with me, maybe not all women, but there's nothing like it. Now listen to me here, I'm making an illustration, but our intimacy with the Father is equally important, amen? We need it. It's vital to comfort our soul. It's vital to build us up in the inner man, but it comes out of a love affair. Are you with me on that? It comes out of a love affair. It's not a business relationship. It's not shift work. I'm not clocking in. And it can't be with Jesus Christ. And listen, church. Church, if people come into your church and it's simply a religious organization based on a Christian doctrine acted out in our flesh through will worship and willpower, it's opposed to the love of God that's shed forth by the Holy Ghost. And it's not a true church. You can have all the doctrine and all the knowledge in the whole wide world, and you can put it out there. But if you don't have the love of Jesus Christ birthed in you by the Holy Spirit, you have nothing, the Bible says. So it's dependent upon you and your life to show men the hope of grace and the hope and the power of the risen Savior. And that's the demand that God places on us as a church, to live in this resurrected power, to live and to let this be our testimony every day of our life, to let this gospel be a demonstration of the Holy Spirit that is alive in you, that the risen Savior is alive in you, going and moving and having his being. Amen? This is what changed the world in the book of Acts. And if we'll get back to it, it'll do it again. True or false today? At salvation, Jesus changed our wretched hearts to be lovers of God. True or false? So the power of the indwelling Holy Ghost in salvation transformed your heart. Is that true or false? I just believed God one day. I told my testimony on Thursday night to my cousin Joseph and his future bride Leslie. And all of a sudden the tears broke. And then the tears broke in him. And then the tears broke in her. And the power of the Holy Spirit was so present. Me and Clint were there that the Holy Spirit was touching their lives, pulling something out of them and dealing with their hearts in such a powerful way, you guys. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ was present to save as we led in the sinner's prayer and as we told them about the things of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I want you guys to know that this power and anointing of the Holy Spirit will rest upon you, God. It'll go into you. It'll make you anointed for the purposes of God to do the ministry upon this earth. And without that ministry, you have no ministry. Amen. Without the Holy Spirit moving, there is no such thing as ministry. It's a social club. Amen? Look at the example of the Apostle Paul, friend, and thank you for opening this up. This man hated Christianity. Saul. He was, who could raise your hand and say, I was as hateful as Saul was? James Kirch, he's at least being honest. He persecuted the way. He hated everything that Jesus stood for. He was in an absolute state of hatred, Saul, before Jesus touched him on the Damascus Road. He was in a place of hatred, and it was then when you hated God, when you were in enmity against God, the Bible says, that Paul surrendered, and he made Jesus his Lord. He knew Jesus was Lord, and he surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus transformed his heart into one that was a killer and a butcher and a murderer. And he turned him into an apostle of love. And he gave him the doctrine of the new covenant. Amen. And he began to download into the Apostle Paul all of the epistles that God would write through the word of God. He rejoiced for grace, faith, and love that was abounding to him in Jesus Christ. And if God could win the heart of a Paul, I want to ask you guys a question. It doesn't matter who you are or how hard-hearted you are. Can God not touch you today? Come on, can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus Christ, the grace of God, abounds to the chiefest of sinners. Amen. When sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Amen. To crush sin and to put it down under once and for all and to put you under the blood of Jesus Christ and to raise you up a new human being, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. Old things pass away and behold, all things become new. And I want to just challenge probably every single person in this room. Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. Amen. Well, I believe J. Maxey probably was too. I believe maybe, Dustin, Mark Trimble probably was too. Right down the line. But that's our testimony, you guys, of a God that loves us. Amen. Despite us. Amen. Matthew 22:37. Gives us the great and royal commandment. Matthew 22:37, it says this, thou shalt love the Lord with all thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. He wants you to admit that our wicked works will never measure up and to come into the love of God and to fill you with his love. God's desires to save your heart this morning and to fill you with his love. I want you to go to Romans 5, and we're going to study that out a little bit today. Romans 5. And I want to ask the questions. Romans 5:5. Let me know when you're there. Everybody say amen when you get there. There we go. I'm going to read part B. and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God, let's read that together. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to you. In other words, you don't have it already. The Holy Spirit has to be given to you so that you can have the love of Christ. Do you see that? There's a lot of people in here. I'm telling you, we think we love God. But the Bible is telling us in this passage right here that God is going to shed forth this kind of a love in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. How many of you guys have the Holy Ghost? How many of you guys walk in the Holy Ghost and not in Netflix? And not in the cable channel? And not in a trilogy of whoever your favorite star is? How many of you guys are walking in the Spirit? How many of you guys walk in Jesus? How many of you guys are walking in the memories of the Nebraska Cornhuskers? How many of you, come on, you guys. I said the love of God, the love that is the power of salvation, the love of God is shed forth in us by the Holy Spirit. So the more of the Holy Spirit that you have in you, the more love that you have in you. Can I get an amen? I said the more Holy Spirit that is working in your life, it produces a love, and it's not your kind of love. You don't have love. You don't love God. No, you don't. God loves you. You don't love God. He gives us agape love. It doesn't come from humanity. It originates with God. God is love, amen? And if he doesn't give you love, if he doesn't put that down into your humanity, you cannot even love God. You cannot love your neighbor. You cannot love your wife. You cannot pray for your enemies. You cannot do these things. You cannot forgive. You have an inability to do the things of God unless he empowers you to do them by the Holy Ghost, which is shed forth, which is shed abroad in your hearts by this kind of a love, you guys. You guys, don't you love love? Yeah, you love love? Don't you need love to care for the others around you? Don't you want love in your church and in your discipleship and in your teaching to raise up these kids as the new generation, amen? They need to be raised in love, but not in an earthly, natural love. No. They need agape love that flows from the power of grace and into their hearts, amen? Don't you want love in your vocations? Don't you want love to meet you on the job in the morning, Monday morning? Church, you don't just go to your vocations to earn a living, do you? No. It is to reach those people where God has sent you. If you've not been called into the fivefold ministry gifts of leadership, you all have been called by the Great Commission into a vocational ministry, and you're there as a missionary to reach people for Jesus Christ. Right? Is that true or false? That's absolutely true if we're still here on earth. Without an excuse. The kicker is you'll only enter into ministry because you love Jesus. Amen? Many are called, but few are chosen. You'll only enter in because you have a love for him, his teaching, his word. You believe in him, and you know him intimately. Amen? And you want to follow Jesus. And you want to be led by Jesus. And you want to be filled with Jesus. And as you're filled with Jesus, man, he breaks your heart and he bursts your heart and it blows into 1,000 pieces and you realize that Jesus loves you. And guess what? Right now in my life, God is downloading to me in the last 3 weeks in a very real way that Jesus loves me, that he's called me. And he says, Aaron, I've called you now more than ever. In fact, everything, and I want to pass that along, every single one of you that has a calling in this room, which I believe is everyone, it's now that God is calling you for such a time as this. Amen? This world is about to blow up. Amen? It's going to burn up, the Bible says, okay? The elements are going to melt with fervent heat, the Bible says. Everything's going to be on fire. Not just California fire, not just Colorado fire, okay? The elements, it's going to burn down to the periodic table. It's going to burn the stones out of the ground. You ever been around welding? You ever chip slag off of a, you know what I'm saying? That's what's going to be left. There is nothing that is going to last in this earth, and it's coming so soon, you guys. What are you living for? Are you living for the love of God? Do you have the download of love pulsing through you to reach a world for Jesus Christ, even to reach your neighbor, to reach your wife, to reach your friends, to reach the kids down the block? Do you have the power of God moving inside of you? I want to say this, you guys. It's a fact. If you don't love God, you won't care for His sheep. If you don't love God, you won't care for His sheep. Okay? Jesus said, if you love me, to Peter, He said, feed my... That was the call to ministry. I'm going to say it again. If you love me, Peter, feed my... Three times He says that. If we love God, we're going to love the sheep. Is that truth or not? So whosoever loves the Father will love the Father's children, right? If you love me, you're going to love my kids because they're just a little piece of me, right? I want to tell you the truth wherever I'm at. There is no betrayal in a true heart of God. Betrayal means to love less. Betrayal means I'm going to back away from human relationships. I'm going to get out of family. I'm going to back away from these things. I'm just going to back out of this. You know, no, there's not. Come to a Bible study. We'll read the Bible together. Where there's envy, strife, division, all these things don't come from God. It says they come from carnality and they come from the devil. Amen. There is no place found in the Bible, no place found in the Bible where you leave churches that preach the gospel, that stand up for Jesus Christ, that live boldly and are anointed. Father, in the name of Jesus, you guys have got to see and hear what I'm saying today in the name of Jesus. There's no backsliding in the true heart of God. No, you just want more and more and more of Jesus. There's no fear of COVID in the Bible. The Bible says there's no fear in love, but perfect love does what? It casts out all fear. You see a country that is absolutely covered in fear right now. When the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith, which is the opposite of fear? And you can see the difference. Look at this. Go to 1 John 2:9, please. 1 John 2:9. You guys, we're going to preach the gospel in this house. And the gospel is that He loves you. And do not forget the theme of this message is that He loves you. And let me tell you again, He loves you. And I just met you, but He loves you. And I know you back there, but He loves you. Amen? And He loves you. He loves you. I love you too, by the way. But that's just what I'm saying to you guys. I cannot look at you guys and not smile and think back and laugh to fun times we've had and not love you. You know why? People I've met for 5 minutes or whatever. Talk about Cheyenne's dad. We didn't spend an awful lot of time together. He's a fun guy. I love him. And guess what? The love of Jesus is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit to love Him even more and to love every single person even more. And that's what Christianity is, the bedrock. Amen? Anybody ever read 1 Corinthians 13? Yep. It says the greatest of these is charity, which is love, right? So what God's doing in me right now, and I pray to God, and He does it in you, in me, so He can do it in you, is to make sure the backbone of everything you preach is the love of God. The power of it all. 1 John 2:9 says this. Watch it with me. Please put it up on the wall if you can. 2:9. And he that saith he is in the light. Now look at this. And hateth his brother. You see it? Is in darkness even until now. And he that loveth his brother, abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling. None occasion of stumbling means my brother's not going to trip me up like this. Whoa. And I'm down on the ground, and I'm out, and I've fallen, and I can't get up, and I'm offended. And no. If you can't get on with your brothers, which is the proving ground of Christianity, which is God's church. It's like God puts us all in, hey, mamas, God puts us all into a big pack and play. He puts us all into a big bounce house, okay? Padded walls and everything else so you guys can do this. And all of a sudden, you know, what happens when I'm thinking of the women's conference, you know, when you got 30 kids in a bounce house. All of a sudden, ding, ding, ding. God allows all of the human family relations to bump and bruise and bump and touch the bump, get a fat lip and everything else. He's doing that in your families right now. There's a great shaking going on. I don't care. I don't know you, but I know he is. It's the big pack and play, you guys. God's arranged it, so it's going to happen. He's allowing that to grow you. He's allowing that so you can grow up and you can learn how to deal with people and you can get on with a diverse group of people. Amen? And the people that are excelling in how to do that, they're going to become leaders. Amen? Because that personality couldn't take me out and that personality couldn't take... No, no, no. I've learned to love these people. I've learned to say, dear God, forgive them for they know not. And there was an example somewhere along the line. Amen? I remember Jesus said, I'll show you an example. He got out the towel and began to wash some feet, right? Peter said, don't wash me. He says, if I don't wash you, you're not getting anything that I have. But if you'll let me wash you completely and totally. He was talking about the cross and how he's going to wash us in his blood. Amen? If God doesn't allow that, if God, sometimes you need to have a good foot washing in a church. I mean it. We need to pull the shoes off because shoes and feet stink, okay? All your feet stink. They do, mine too. But God said, no. You're going to wash. Wash. Here's what we do. We wash each other. We wash. We're washed in the water. We claim that. We even claim that we're washed in the blood. We love Jesus with all our heart, right? But the golden rule is this. Now love your neighbor as thyself. That's where the rub comes. Can I really love you, Clinton? Can I really love Jay after I get to know Jay? Can I really love Roger, knowing everything about Roger? Dear God, help me. He said, increase our faith. Our offense is going to come. Luke 17 says, man, they're coming in droves. And that's when Jesus says, you got to forgive 70 times 7, man. And the disciples said, oh, Lord, increase our faith. But listen, faith works by love, Galatians 5:6. So what he was saying was increase our faith and double increase our love for one another so that we can love with a Christ-like love and we can move the mountains of faith that stand in our midst in the next few verses. It said that there's mountains that Jesus can just pick up and throw into the sea, but they're tough for us. They look like great, great, huge things. No, let God pick them up and throw them away and get free. Amen? Their freedom in the power of God? Is there freedom and power in the Lord Jesus Christ today? There certainly is. Amen. What verse were we on? 11. 1 John 2, 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness. Hateth there, you guys, means this. Loves less. Or is moving away from a relationship. And walks in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goes. Where am I going? I don't even have any purpose. I don't know if I'm coming or going. Are you serious? because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Church, when you tell your brothers the truth in love and point them to Christ, then you know you love their soul. Tell people the truth, but do it in love. Brother, you brought it out perfectly this morning that we can go around with the Bible and kill everybody and have not love. And love is laying down our lives for one another, especially when they're in sin, especially when they're in temptation, especially when they're in pain, especially when they're in suffering, especially when they're hurt, especially when they're in torment. Church, are we going to be the church? Are we going to go and rescue people? Do we have the ministry of reconciliation? The ministry of reconciliation, jump up here, friend, real quick. The ministry of reconciliation is this, which you guys are ambassadors are, in which the message is be ye reconciled. It's two guys, two warring parties. And guess what? You were a wrestler and I was a basketball player, so there's going to be a war here anyway. And you beat me up a couple weeks ago. So we're wrestling, right? And we're upset and you just got popped in the nose and you just hurt my back and it really happened, didn't it? So now just stand like this. I don't want anything to do with him. My nose is still bleeding. My back's out. I got to go to the chiropractor. Sick of you. You hurt me. What's the ministry of reconciliation, church? Take two warring parties. Two at enmity with one another. This is your ministry on planet Earth. You bring them together. And guess what? I'm thank God there's a cross between us. There's two outstretched arms and they're pulling us together like this. And guess what? He brings us together in family, love. He makes us sons. He makes us friends. He makes us care about one another. He makes us cry for one another. He breaks us and he loves us. And he draws us. And that he says, this be ye reconciled to God. And this is your message to the whole wide world. Bring these people with you. And in this hour, the church has to see. Listen, the church has to be. We have to prove what we believe right now. Amen? There ain't not a one of you or anybody that's ever hurt me, or if I've hurt you, don't let it stumble a relationship to where we start to betray one another. Betrayal was never a good thing. Just ask Judas. It didn't turn out well for him. Then there was a guy named Peter, and he denied Christ three times. Remember that? He was on his way out. Three times. He was going down the wrong road. But Jesus showed up and grabbed him and brought him close. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Wash feet. Love people. Assemble much more as you see that day approaching. Let me stay there for a second, and I have gotten it into two of my 36 pages today. Do you know why we need the assembly? How is it, you guys, that God is, listen, if you believe your Bibles, God's going to save all Israel. You've heard me say this maybe. The diaspora is that he's bringing all the natural Israel, God's going to save Israel in one day. We believe that if you believe the book of Revelation. If you believe Romans 9, 10, and 11, that God is going to deal with Israel one more time, right? He's not doing that because they're worthy. He's not doing that because they're holy. He's not doing that because they deserve it. And none of us do either, right? We have that in common. He's doing it because he's a covenant-keeping God and he will do it. He loves Zion. Amen. They're the apple of his eye. Their names are written upon his hand. And my God, who is more powerful than hate, amen, more powerful than riots, more powerful than politics, he's more powerful than hatred upon this earth. He's the God of love. And what this world needs more than ever is a God and a showing by you, the people of God, just like in the book of Acts, that their hearts were so burning with a baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a baptism of fire and a baptism of love, that they got up and with tears in their eyes, but a purpose and a desire in their heart to go tell every single human being that they would ever see about the love of Jesus Christ that's going to redeem them and buy them back and save them for all eternity. And what this whole wide world needs is another baptism of love. Amen? What your families need are a baptism of love. It's time to squash the enmity. It's time to reconcile things together. God is sick and sick and sick and tired of people that will not come together. So guess what you need to do if you're a great big Christian today in this hour? Somebody wave the white flag of surrender. Somebody wave your white flag of surrender. Somebody get right with God. Somebody go and wash somebody's feet. Somebody go and bow down before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Somebody go and be like Jesus in this hour. And I guarantee you, it'll make the world of difference. Paul said, I'll fight the good fight of faith. I'll lay hold on eternal life. This is what it means. I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to know him, amen, in intimacy. I'm going to know Jesus Christ to the point that I'll be filled with him, I'll suffer with him, I'll do whatever it takes. And church, listen, the days ahead are going to be different than you've ever known. We're preparing on a Wednesday night. I want you guys to be prepared. Do not be unprepared for the days ahead. But the greatest thing that you need this hour, this morning, and I'm not wasting one split second as we approach a close here, you must be filled with the love of God. I didn't say a love for God. I said the love of God coming down to you. Because when that happens, my teeth chatter like they just did right now. When I even mention the love of God, the Holy Spirit shoots through me and allows me to love things that I could have never loved, and allows me to get over things, and allows me to be healed in the name of Jesus, and allows me to reach into my family and say, enough's enough. It's time right now. We got to come together. We got to love each other. Because guess what? The whole wide world is waiting to see the manifestation of the sons of God. You know what that is? You made perfect and mature. Not glorified yet, but we can become mature in this life, can't we? Go on to perfection. And guess what? They'll know that you're Christians by how much you love. Oh, God, come into the Wednesday night, you guys. Come next Friday night. You're going to hear about it again. Come next Saturday morning. Amen. You'll hear it again. You'll hear it by a greater speaker than I'll ever be. Amen. Come next Saturday night and bring all your friends. And let's see revival in Nebraska. Amen. Is there a church that wants revival in Nebraska? I will tell you what, God wants revival in your heart this morning. And if he can revive your heart, he'll revive everybody around you. He'll explode your family. He'll explode the power of God and the possibilities and the answered prayer for your life in this end time. And I want to tell you what, the church isn't dead. The church is going to rise like no other in this moment. The true church, the remnant church. Oh my gosh, it's going to explode with power. So God, I want to experience that with you. Can I? Can we be together in this time? Can I wash your feet? Would you wash mine? Can we give grace to one another? Can we find mercy in the house of God?